fifth cant, you can repeat. Shri Shukavacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, iti, thus, samavihitaha, completely instructed, mahabhagavataha, the great devotee, bhagavataha, of the most powerful Lord Brahma, Tribhuvana, of the three worlds, Guruho, the spiritual master, Anushasana, the order, Atmanaha, of himself, Laghutaya, because of inferiority, Avanata, bowed down, Shirodaraha, his head, Vadam, yes sir, iti, thus, Sabahu Manam, with great respect, Uvaha, carried out. So translation, Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued after thus being fully instructed by Lord Brahma, who is the spiritual master of the three worlds. Priyavrata, his own position being inferior, offered obeisances, accepted the order, and carried it out with great respect. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Priyavrata was the grandson of Lord Brahma. Therefore, according to social etiquette, his position was inferior. It is the duty of the inferior to carry out the order of the superior with great respect. Priyavrata therefore immediately said, yes, sir, I shall carry out your order. Priyavrata is described as a Maha Bhagavata, a great devotee. The duty of a great devotee is to carry out the order of the spiritual master or the spiritual master of the spiritual master in the Parampara system, as described in Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter, text 2. Evam Parampara Praptam. One has to receive the instructions of the Supreme Lord through the disciplined chain of spiritual masters. A devotee of the Lord always considers himself a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So, again the verse. Shri Shukuvacha iti samabhihito maha bhagavato bhagavatastri bhuvana guror anushasanam atmano laguta yavanata shurodaro banam iti sabahu manam uvaha. Right. So, Om Gnat, Vedanta Shah, Gnanjana, Shilakaya, Jatsur, Meditam, Yena Tosmai, Shigurvain, Maha. So, there's many lessons that we can learn from this particular part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the lesson being taught here in this particular verse and purport is one of etiquette. You have Priyavrata, who was previously instructed by Narada Muni in the principles of renunciation. Narada Muni is actually a Nashtiki Brahmachari, and he does not usually arrange for people to get married. Usually he arranges for people to renounce things, just like you have the story of Daksha. Daksha had 10,000 sons, and they were called the Hariyashvas. And these sons were instructed by Daksha to engage in getting married and having children. Because Daksha's business was as a Prajapati. However, while they were engaged in austerities so they could have proper children to fill the universe, Narada Muni came around. And what did Narada Muni do? He convinced them all to renounce life. And so their father, Daksha, who had obviously taken a lot of trouble in order to have 10,000 sons, I mean, it's quite a bit of trouble. You know, we don't read about how he took care of them when they were little babies, you know, how they went to school. You know, what we read about is when they were a little older and able to execute austerities. But the most difficult part of the children, well, actually, they're difficult always, but anyway. Even when they move out, they're difficult, isn't it? So anyway, but he did many difficult things to raise 10,000 children. And then they take sannyas. And so he thinks, all right, what am I going to do? I can still have more children. So this time he doesn't go to so much trouble. He has 1,000 children. Now 1,000 is a lot easier to take care of than 10,000, right? I would assume so. So these are called the Savalastras. So he has 1,000 children. And then Narada Muni does the same thing. And of course he gets so angry with Narada Muni, he curses him not to remain in any place for very long. In other words, that's the ultimate curse a householder can give, that you should always travel. Of course, it's interesting when people talk to me, they say, how do you deal with it, you're always traveling? I say, it's very nice. Because that way you don't get attached to any place, right? The Goswamis of Vrindavan, they wouldn't stay under a different tree two nights in a row sometimes. Or at least more than three nights in a row. Because as soon as you stay in a place, you start to get attached. I'm not saying that you should all take sannyas, because who would take care of the deities? The deities are taken care of very nicely here. It's like Ajahn Sutta and his wife taking care of the deities nicely. They're happy. So, but everybody has a specific duty. So Narada Muni is like that type of guru. If you want to be a householder, basically, probably better not to accept Narada Muni as a guru, although he does have some household disciples, like Magrari, Hunter. Magrari was not encouraged to take sannyas. Magrari was encouraged to chant Hare Krishna with his wife. Anyway, so he does have some household disciples, but generally Narada Muni is really stressing on renunciation. So here you have a story of Priyavrata, who is basically instructed by his spiritual master, Narada Muni, to renounce everything, and Priyavrata is getting very ecstatic about the whole thing, thinking, wow, I can renounce, go back to home, back to Godhead. And then Manu gets very upset that Priyavrata is going to renounce everything because he needs someone to manage. And sometimes it's like that in ISKCON too. That you get very upset when someone wants to just renounce. Because you need the movement to go on, you need the temples to be taken care of. So you say, no, don't renounce. And sometimes even to keep people from renouncing, you may even provide them a wife. But that's not... I don't do that anymore. So in this particular case, Lord Brahma is superseding. That means he is counteracting or overcoming the order of Narada Muni, who is Priyavrata's spiritual master, and saying to Priyavrata that you have to take over the kingdom and manage. And actually, when you manage, it's a good thing to be married, too. Because the king or the administrative head, not in ISKCON, don't worry about it, but the administrative head in the kingdom, Kshatriya, had to be married for a variety of reasons. One reason was that he had to have a nice progeny to take over after he left this body or went to the forest. So that's one reason. Another reason that he had to be married was that when he was performing sacrifices, he had to have his wife with him. This is actually interesting. That you see Lord Ram in the Ramayana is described, even after Sita Devi was sent to the forest, to the ashram of Valmiki Muni, Lord Ram had to erect a statue of Sita Devi to sit next to him while he was performing sacrifices. So this is a requirement for Kshatriyas doing sacrifices. Generally, Kshatriyas have to be married. So anyway, so Here, Lord Brahma is superseding the orders of the spiritual master of Priyavrata, and that's okay, because Lord Brahma is the spiritual master of Narada Muni, who is the spiritual master of Priyavrata. So the second topic I want to mention today was one of etiquette, maryada. So etiquette is very important for a Vaishnava. In fact, there's a course that I've given many times about Vaishnava etiquette. And it's extremely important to follow Vaishnava etiquette. And actually, it's said in the Bhagavatam about maryada vyatikrama, one who violates Vaishnava etiquette is never able to please Krishna. So what is that Vaishnava etiquette that's mentioned here? Of course, it's very easy to understand that Lord Brahma is on a higher position, or at least in the disciplic succession, a higher position than Narada Muni. So we find some examples illustrating this Vaishnava etiquette, not only regard to the spiritual master and the spiritual master of the spiritual master, but also in regard to sometimes the godbrothers of the spiritual master. And that's some stories in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about this. And I'll tell two stories, since today is the day before Gaura Purnima, so it's appropriate we talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his particular pastimes. So one story involves a disciple of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. And that person was named Govinda. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master was Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri got his, blessing from his spiritual master by taking care of his spiritual master nicely as Madhavendra Puri was leaving this world. So Govinda was a disciple of Ishwarapuri. And as Ishwarapuri was leaving this world, Govinda was asked by a spiritual master to serve one of his godbrothers, which was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Govinda arrives in Jagannath Puri, and then he says that I've been ordered by my spiritual master to serve you. So there was some discussion there amongst Lord Chaitanya's associates. And one of the points brought out that it's not appropriate for a godbrother to serve another godbrother, which is interesting, isn't it? Of course, I should have told that to one of my godbrothers who, when I was a brahmachari, I was serving. That's interesting. Because when Prabhupada was on the planet, everyone was Prabhupada's disciple. And so I was traveling with one sannyasi who shall remain nameless to protect the innocent. And I was basically his servant. Not a very good servant, of course. I was always talking back to him. So, in any case, generally that's against the etiquette that you actually become the personal servant. I mean, even render service. Sure, we're supposed to render service to each other, even if we're godbrothers or godsisters, goduncles, and aunts. I mean, obviously, just like I'm giving class here and I'm serving all of you by doing that. But it's not that I would become the personal servant of Garga Muni. You know, when Garga Muni takes sannyas, hopefully that's soon, then it's not that I'm going to iron his clothes and cook for him and everything like that, because that's a violation of the etiquette. It'd be kind of funny, too. So Govinda arrived there in Jagannath Puri, and the question was, Govinda's not supposed to serve his godbrother, or become the personal servant of the godbrother. And then there was the point made that, yes, that's one point of etiquette, but the order of the spiritual master supersedes that. In other words, that's more important. So there's also an etiquette. It's not simply rules and regulations. You have to know how to apply items of etiquette according to time, place, and circumstance. So if the spiritual master says something, then that's taken as overriding ordinary etiquette. So then even a godbrother can serve a godbrother, or even a godbrother can serve one of his disciples, a disciple of a godbrother. It's interesting, isn't it? because that's the order of the spiritual master. That's the highest principle, the order of the spiritual master. There's no higher principle than that. And of course, the order of the spiritual master should not be followed blindly, but with intelligence. Prabhupada said, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. So one has to use his intelligence in following the order of the spiritual master. So there's two more instances I want to mention from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Another instance is also involving Govinda. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time he was very tired, and right after kirtan or performing devotional service, he took rest. And he took rest basically blocking the doorway of the Gambira. The Gambira is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in Jagannath Puri. At the same time, it was Govinda's duty to massage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while he was resting. Okay. But Govinda couldn't get into the room to massage him because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was blocking. And one very important item of Vaishnava etiquette is you don't step over another Vaishnava. Especially you don't step over God. I mean, that would be even worse. So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God. So, Govinda, what he did is he actually put a wrapper, that means a piece of cloth, over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and stepped over him, you know, violating etiquette. And then he massaged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he stayed in the room. He didn't leave the room until Lord Chaitanya came back to external consciousness. And he didn't even leave the room to eat, because it was time for his prasadam. So he just stayed there, I guess, chanting very softly. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to external consciousness, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "What are you doing here? Why didn't you take prasadam?" And then Govinda said, "I didn't want to commit an offense and step over your body." And Lord Chaitanya said, "But you came into the room and you stepped over my body. So why don't you do the same thing?" And then Govinda made the point that for service, not that we deliberately commit an offense, not that we deliberately commit offense, but sometimes you have to do something that's a little bit different than the ordinary etiquette. So, but for sense gratification, no. So that's another important point in etiquette. Just like you see, Srila Prabhupada sometimes even criticized some of his godbrothers. Now, that's really against the etiquette. However, there was a higher principle. What was that principle? To protect us. Because many of his godbrothers, or some of them at least, didn't have the right attitude. I don't want to criticize them because that's not the right etiquette for me. In fact, one of his godbrothers even reinitiated one of Prabhupada's disciples. Prabhupada had sent this devotee to Vrindavan to stay with his godbrother because he thought the godbrother was going to protect him. There was no other devotee in Vrindavan at that time. And this godbrother did not let Prabhupada's mail come to the disciple of Prabhupada. And therefore the disciple, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, thought, and he even was told that Prabhupada doesn't care about you or something like that. And then he was given reinitiation. So Prabhupada, and then also, I mean, many other instances, like Prabhupada also said that some of his godbrothers were interfering with his acquisition of land in Sridhar Mayapur. And so Prabhupada sometimes had to criticize his godbrothers. At the same time, Prabhupada said, we should not do that. So you see, Prabhupada was doing something different than the ordinary etiquette, but for a higher principle. It takes some discrimination. Prabhupada said, discrimination is the better part of valor. You cannot apply Krishna consciousness in a ritualistic way. It requires mature discrimination according to time, place, and circumstance. And then another example of etiquette, just final example from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, involves another personality who is the godbrother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. His name was Ramchandra Puri, not our Ramchandra here. Don't worry. This is a different person. So Ramchandra Puri had offended his spiritual master. And Ramchandra Puri offended his spiritual master by giving his spiritual master offensive advice while his spiritual master Madhavendra Puri was leaving this world. Madhavendra Puri was crying out in separation from Vrindavan, from Mathura. And this was a symptom of what we call vyabhachari bhava, you know, intense emotions that are exhibited by a pure devotee. So anyway, so he was exhibiting these symptoms, and then what happened is that one disciple, Ramchandra Puri, started to preach to his guru, and that's also a violation of etiquette. And he said, Gurudev, meditate on Brahman. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakanshati Samaksarveshu Bhukteshu Madhaktim Labhate Param. If you're actually situated in Brahman, then you'll be peaceful, you won't hanker, and you won't lament. So here you are, Gurudev, lamenting. So become Krishna conscious, Gurudev. Can you imagine telling that to your spiritual master? Spiritual master's crying in ecstasy, and you just tell him, hey, don't be Maya, Gurudev, you know, just be absorbed in Brahman. So Ramchandra Puri got cursed by his spiritual master. He said, the spiritual master sort of combined his feelings of separation with a curse. He said, I have not reached Mathura, feeling separation, and this rascal has come to harass me. Get out of here, I don't want to see your face anymore. And so that was the final instruction that Ramchandra Puri got from his guru. Imagine getting that instruction from your guru. I don't want to see your face anymore. So he left, and he became an offender to all the Vaishnavas. He offended or criticized Vaishnavas for things they didn't even do wrong. He even went and criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and some of his followers by doing different things. He would feed a devotee a lot of prasadam and insist the devotee would keep eating, 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 eating. And then he would criticize the devotee for eating too much. Actually, you see that when someone becomes a fault finder, a critic of others, that person has the same faults. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that. He said, I am finding fault in you because I myself am pockmarked with those same faults. So Ramchandra Puri had a habit of eating too much. Anyway, so he was criticizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for eating sweets because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had ants on the floor of his room. There was no evidence that he ate sweets, but still, he was criticizing. And then he criticized Lord Chaitanya for eating too much, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate less. And then he criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for eating too little. Can you imagine? That's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Whatever you do, you're going to get criticized by such a person. So you would think, you know, if someone like that came in the temple, I'd probably say, you know, get that H-E-double-L out of here, you know. I mean, I wouldn't care about etiquette. I would just, you know, just sweep him out the door if that happened. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very concerned with Vaishnava etiquette, he not only did not criticize Ramchandra Puri, but he reduced his eating to please Ramchandra Puri. Even though all the devotees were just like upset with Ramchandra Puri and telling Lord Chaitanya not to pay attention, because Lord Chaitanya understood that Ramchandra Puri was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri and godbrother of his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. Therefore, he paid that etiquette, ordinary etiquette, which is very important. Very, very important. So these are some stories from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how etiquette is extremely, extremely important to follow. I mean, just like we understand that Srila Gurudev, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he instructed his disciples to treat his godbrothers very nicely, like the spiritual master. Of course, I'm not saying that because I want to be treated nicely. That's not an advertisement for me. But anyway, but that, he gave that instruction. So this etiquette, we should learn the items of ordinary etiquette. Vaishnava, of course, Vaishnava etiquette is not ordinary, but etiquette, even ordinary etiquette. You know, Prabhupada said his disciples, when he was asked about the quality of his disciples, are perfect ladies and gentlemen. In other words, they act nicely towards everyone. Dira dira jana priyo, priyakuro. That's a description given about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They actually were very dear to the ruffians and the devotees. So that's how we should be too. Follow items of ordinary etiquette. I mean, even pay respect to someone who has a high political position, because they, also we understand they got that position by the grace of God. I mean, that's another point too. But still, we should do that, and then we'll be known as perfect ladies and gentlemen, and people will be attracted to us. So, of course, ordinary etiquette may be considered sub-religious principle, a sub-religious principle. But devotees many times neglect sub-religious principles which they should be following. Many times devotees think that they are so transcendental they don't have to follow ordinary etiquette or ordinary rules. Just like you have in the Bible, what is it, the Ten Commandments, right? Honor your father and mother, you know, don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery. So people think, well, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, I'm above that. And so, you know, we can steal, transcendental thievery or something. We can run away with someone else's wife. It doesn't matter, because we're chanting Hare Krishna Prabhu. Isn't, you've seen this happen? We can neglect our, you know, our mother or father, or neglect ordinary dealings. Don't pay taxes. You know, just crazy stuff. Actually, even Jesus Christ, when he was asked if the devotees should pay, his devotees should pay taxes, he said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." So he told his followers to pay taxes and not cheat. So we have to do that too. There's another reason we do that, in addition to, you know, being respectable, is that's cultivation of the mode of goodness. Unless you're in the mode of goodness, you're not going to really make spiritual progress. So that's another reason why etiquette is very important. In any case, we need to study items of ordinary etiquette, and I'm even thinking of giving a course on etiquette, ordinary etiquette, not just Vaishnava etiquette, you know, or ethics and morality, which is extremely important for devotees to learn to develop a society. As Prabhupada called this, the society for Krishna consciousness, international society. That means not just like people running around chanting Hare Krishna, which is nice, but people having relationships, loving relationships, which are mentioned in the Upadeshamrita, are based on etiquette. They're based on etiquette. So this etiquette, morality, ethics, should be cultivated by the devotees. And here we see Priyavrata doing something that he didn't want to do. But it's described here, he did it with great respect, which is also important. Not just doing it. It's not that he just said to Lord Brahma, "Oh, damn it, I have to get married now." But he did it with respect. So that means he had the right attitude. So when we're giving some instruction, it's not that, oh, I got to follow this order of Gurudev, I got to do this social etiquette thing. Oh, I'd much rather be eating prasadam. Because most of us are not thinking of renunciation, we're just thinking of eating. So we should do everything with great respect and devotion. Not simply ritualistically, niyamagraha, but actually respectfully, lovingly, that's bhakti yoga. So here, Priyavrata is actually executing internally and externally these principles of bhakti yoga. So any questions or comments about these points? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues, discussions?
Many times, actually, devotees commit offenses.
Yeah.
Yamuna Vaishnava, and then they do one sankalpa. And then sometimes it repeats. So, actually, like they're using one sankalpa and then it's an excuse, you know.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes doesn't sound right.
What's like the offense on chanting? You know, committing offenses, sins on the strength of chanting. You know, you just like go out, smoke some marijuana, Hare Krishna, smoke some more, Hare Krishna, smoke some more, Hare Krishna. Or like Prabhupada talked about, sometimes the Catholics, they have this confession. They go to the church, my dear father, forgive me, this week I was a rascal, next week, my dear father, forgive me, this is a rascal. I was a rascal. It doesn't work. We have to, you know, if we make a mistake, yeah, vancha kalpa, you know. But also, not just vancha kalpa. We got to do some, you got to rectify it, too. You can't just, like, vancha kalpa your way back to Godhead. You have to do something to rectify it. Let's say if I offend someone, I should maybe do a little service for them. You know, not just vancha kalpa, but a little service. Change my attitude, too. So rectification has to be there. Not just asking for forgiveness. You know, we have this philosophy in ISKCON. You do something first and you get permission later. Isn't it? You know, Maharaj, or Gurudev, I've migrated. I hope I have your permission. What can you do? You know, they're already there. So sometimes when people migrate, they don't, I mean, I've experienced this, they don't tell you they're migrating until they've already migrated.
In case you say no.
Yeah, because how can I say no? You know, I'm already here, I have a job, you know, I bought a house. You know, do I have your permission? No. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I can't say no at that point. So, anyway, or Gurudev, I got a divorce. Do I have your permission to get a divorce? The same thing. I mean, so, basically, we should follow etiquette. Yeah.
It's like you were mentioning about etiquette. Some etiquettes are transgressed for a high purpose.
Yeah.
So, how do we come to know or understand whether what we're doing is just for transgressing the etiquette, or is it just for a higher purpose? It's like sometimes we may make ourselves believe that it is, but it may not be.
That's why we need the association of devotees, because we should discuss these things amongst more advanced devotees to find out if it's appropriate like that. And I mean, even you have an example of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur feeding his disciples sometimes rice on Ekadasi, which is really a violation of Vaishnava principle, but for higher principle of preaching. So, I mean, the great Acharya, He has that discrimination, but we may not have that discrimination. So we should take shelter of advanced Vaishnavas and discuss it. We have to have relationships, deep relationships with each other where we can reveal our minds. I mean, otherwise our society is just like a very stereotypical ritualistic society. You know, Hari Bol Prabhu, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. How are you doing? I'm ecstatic. Okay, Hare Krishna. You know, we have to have deep friendships, isn't it? But we don't. I mean, what I see is often, it's not, I mean, there are people who have deep friendships. But what I see is very often is just people have just very like surface relationships, and they can't really reveal the mind. And it's just like, you know, it's like the Hare Krishna society where you have a secret handshake or something. You know, you've seen societies where you have a secret handshake? No. Like the Masons? You know about the Masons? No. They're a secret society. They have a secret handshake. They have a special ring they wear. You know, a Mason ring. I know that because I'm not a member of the Masons, but... you know, there's this whole theory that it's a political intrigue to take over the world, the Masons. Because every major leader in the world has always been a Mason. Anyway. What's that? Yeah, Kabul. You know, even the Russians, even Putin is a Mason, even, you know, Obama's a Mason, even Donald Trump's a Mason, so maybe... So we should not be like that, you know, just some secret society. We should have deep relationships with each other. It's not just the club, like the Kiwanis. So many different organizations.
Oftentimes people are burnt up because they try to really reveal their minds to somebody and then it gets out and it's not kept confidential. And so that becomes one of the reasons why they don't reveal their minds so much to.
Yeah. That's true. Because, you know, there's telegraph, telephone, and teledevotee. You know, so we have our ISKCON grapevine or whatever. So, you know, anyway, so we're a young society, so we haven't developed all these things yet. But as we mature in Krishna consciousness, you know, as we get older personally and as the society matures, we will develop those things. But right now, it's a very immature society. I mean, we have to be frank about it. So we have to be careful. Otherwise, you reveal your mind, you'll read about it on Facebook tomorrow. You say, you know, Maharaj revealed his mind to me, you know. And 10,000 people know about it. I mean, even we have our GBC meetings, and we find out how we voted by reading Facebook before we actually find out at the meeting. You know, we've had certain things. There were certain things happening in Mayapur recently that the GBC didn't even know about, and we just had to read Facebook to figure out what was happening with the leaders there. So we don't want that to happen. There has to be confidentiality. Guyamakyati prichati. So I guess we should end now. It's time for prasadam, which supersedes all other items of Krishna consciousness. Tomorrow is Gaur Purnima, so we'll be speaking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and purpose of his advent. I guess in the morning we'll talk more about the purposes of his advent more. Philosophical. In the evening, we'll talk more pastimes. Okay, so all glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna Kaliya Dham ki jai.